I now ask the parents to come up. Beloved in Christ the Lord, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord our God to seal to us and our children his covenant. We must therefore use the sacrament for that purpose and not out of custom or superstition. That it may be clear then that you desire baptism for the right purpose, you are to answer sincerely the following questions. First, do you confess that our children, though conceived and born in sin and therefore subject to all sorts of misery, even to condemnation, are sanctified in Christ and thus as members of his church ought to be baptized? Second, do you confess that the doctrine of the Old and New Testament, summarized in the confessions and taught here in this Christian church, is the true and complete doctrine of salvation? Third, do you promise as father and mother to instruct your child in this doctrine as soon as Hannah is able to understand and to have her instructed therein to the utmost of your power? What is your answer, Brother Kevin? What is your answer, Sister Desiree? Hannah Jane Alderleaston, I baptize you into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us now stand and give thanks to God as we praise and glorify him with hymn 56, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. We'll continue our giving thanks with a word of prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving. And also at the end, let it lead into the Lord's Prayer. Studying the Lord's Prayer, we'll pray together as a congregation, and feel free to join me then as well as we come to the end of our prayer. Let's pray. Almighty, merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You received us through your Holy Spirit as members of your only begotten Son, and so adopted us to be your children. You sealed and confirmed this to us by holy baptism. We pray through your beloved Son that you will always govern this child by your Holy Spirit, that Hannah may be nurtured in the Christian faith and in godliness, and may grow and increase in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that she thus may acknowledge your fatherly goodness and mercy, which you have shown to her and to us all. May she live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. May she forever praise and magnify you and your Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, the one, only, true God. And as the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray, so we pray Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This afternoon, we'll take as our reading from Scripture Psalm 103. There are many different psalms that could have been chosen as we're trying to look at that question of how do we hallow God's name? What does this look like? And of course, it's God's own word, and especially the prayers and the songs, as the psalms always function as both prayers and songs that kind of lead the way. And so let's turn to Psalm 103 this afternoon. Psalm 103 of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who hate, fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's now then continue to sing from Psalm 103. Now we'll sing stanzas 4 and 5.
Thank you.
This afternoon, we'll again turn to God's Word as it's summarized in our confession, in the Heidelberg Catechism in particular, and we'll look at the Lord's Prayer as it's dealt with in Lord's Day 47, where the first petition, "Hallowed be your name," is discussed. The Catechism asks, what is the first petition? The answer is, "Hallowed be your name," that is, grant us first of all that we may rightly know you, and sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works in which shine forth your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we already discussed to some extent last week, we noted that to hallow God's name may be unfamiliar language, but it just means to treat God's name with weight, a sense of importance and majesty. Described in the Heidelberg Catechism as to know God, to sanctify, set him as part as holy, to give glory to him, to glorify and praise God. Last week we looked at that question as to why is it important and how it's key that in all of life the important thing, the main thing, is to give glory to God. But it's good to ask ourselves, how do we do this? What does this look like, especially when it comes to prayer? The Catechism will answer that, we can glorify God, we can hallow His name in our actions, that's definitely part of it, but what may this look like? In prayer, in our own prayers. Have you ever asked yourself this? Did you say that if you look at your prayers, that there is a sense that yes, you hallow God's name and it looks like... So last week we noted that this is an important question. Not only is it important for the unity of believers, not only is it important that we realize that we're asking things for the glory of God and not for our own glory, but actually, if we say that our lives are really about glorifying God, to give glory to Him in all things, then isn't getting our prayers right in glorifying Him by hallowing His name all important? Because we're fulfilling our purpose as people made in His image. And of course, there's more to that than prayer, but it is an incredible, important starting point. So how do we do this? And let's try to answer that question this afternoon by looking at the examples that we find in Psalm 103 and at least one other psalm, as they will guide us and help us to answer this in a good way. So our theme this afternoon is how to hallow God's name. And our very first starting point is exactly that which the Catechism uses. Grant us, first of all, that we may rightly know you. That in order to give glory to God, to treat Him as that is His holy and worthy of praise, you have to know Him. Hopefully we all recognize that that's the important starting point. And that, in fact, as we're sitting here, we do know God. At least enough about Him to hallow His name. But is that all that there is to say? What may this look like? Well, let's consider that starting the first couple of verses of Psalm 103, where David is encouraging his soul to praise God. And let's consider then, what does he do? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pits, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And it's very clear that David knows God. And that he wants to praise him from the bottom of his heart. That's how it starts. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. So what does he then do next? He thinks. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In this psalm in particular, he is mindful of that he will forget God's benefit. He wants to praise him from the bottom of his heart. So how does he do it? It's like, mind, don't forget the blessings of the Lord. He thinks, remembers the good that the Lord has done for him. He recollects God's very own goodness to him. He says, Lord, I want to praise you from the inmost bottom of my heart. Let me count the ways in which you have been good to me. You've forgiven my sins. You've healed my diseases. You have saved me, delivered me. Above that, you have crowned me, and you satisfy me, and you renew me. It's almost as if you follow that David just thinks through the darkest time that he's been through, to the very heights of God's glory and grace that he has experienced, and just follows through step by step what God has done for him. And he sees the hand of God through it all. He thinks, he reflects, he observes God's work in his life. And so it is, as he says, he remembers. Thinking, observing, remembering, all of these activities of the mind flesh out what it means to know God. In fact, they are important. Because it's probably not just David who realizes that he needs these reminders, that is tempted to forget the blessings of the Lord. We all have that. That's why we need to think, reflect, observe, and remember. I think this is also a very good starting point to remember when you may be struggling to pray or to get your prayers started. A while back, as I was reading a book on prayer, I took the approach of suggesting that for each one of us, that pretty much every night, our heart in a way freezes over a bit. It needs to be warmed up before we pray. And maybe you even recognize that in your own life. Right? You like, I need to do my devotions. I need to get started in the morning. I want to pray, but it doesn't just happen like that. Maybe there are times in your life where it does happen like that. Rejoice. Don't take that for granted. But most of the time, there is that cooling off. Everything's got to get started again in the morning. This is why it's good to think. Maybe to crack open the Bible, to consider as you do your devotions, as you maybe read a couple of verses, what is it? What is the goodness of God that is revealed there? And who he is? And what he has done? Just take that as a launching pad to think, how has God been good to you? When you don't have the time for that, to just do some thinking, observing, remembering first of all. What is one thing about the previous day? What is one thing about the previous week you would give thanks to God for? Do you have that prompt? So that when it is, 5 minutes before everyone wakes up, you got to pray, you've busted off the ice just a little bit. Warmed up your soul. Start to pray. And if you struggle maybe where to start your thinking as to what may this look like, what are some things that you may observe when it comes to God, I have two suggestions. Start with some aspect of who God is. This is what the Catechism really tells us, doesn't it? It says, to sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all of your works in which shine forth. It goes into the attributes of God, who he is, and what we see and what he has done. Power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. What is it in your day of the character of God, of his attributes that you need? Or that you appreciate? Or that gets your mind going? Start maybe with something about the character of God. Or two, start with a name or title of God. Right? Hallowed be your name. focuses on God's name. And there's some wonderful titles and names given to God. There's a lot there to observe and to reflect on. The Psalms are full of them. I'll just give you one example. Psalm 18, stanzas 1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It's like seven different names, seven different descriptions of what God is like. Repetition with variety. Just to draw out. Lord, how I hallow your name. This is what I observe about who you are. This is what I observe that is worthy of praise. But once we're done thinking and observing, then there comes the step of expressing. Take the time to think not only about what you observe, but also how would you articulate, how would you describe it? And in all honesty, this is very similar to the first point, but I think worth pointing out, because often we can observe things, but we may not be good at expressing it or take that next step. And I think, those verses from Psalm 18 really highlight this. Psalm 18 could have been written and said, I love you, Lord, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Done. David had observed, he had remembered, and then he expressed it. But the very fact that he expounds and he adds all of these words, all of these descriptions, these titles for God, it shows just how he wants to express that deeper truth of what he has observed. He has genuine and honest praise for God. And it drives him towards expounding it as much and as best as he can. Similarly, we may say in prayer or in praise, I praise you, Lord, because God, you are good. It's a statement that's 100% true. And it may be well articulated. But maybe there's a better way of expressing it. What do you mean by that? What of his goodness do you see? What have you observed that makes you say that? Because when it comes to our interpersonal relationships, we do this all the time. Or we may not always as good as it, because we're not always as good as expressing our thoughts, but it can be worthwhile. Hey, you can tell someone, I love you. It can be genuine, can be honest. It's because you've seen something that is lovable in them or something that they've done. And likely just that blanket statement will be appreciated. But what also will be appreciated if you take the time to express just exactly what you have observed. I love what you did today. Or how you responded. I love what you did for me today. How you helped me. I love you for who you are. Because I've seen your kindness. I've seen that you're generous. Considerate. I love you because you're a patient person. Or you're always there to help. You're not just given that statement that I love you for something, but you actually give an expression to what you have seen. That is lovable. And if this is difficult for you to articulate what you really observe, what you really feel and have experienced and believe, then maybe there's another great way of breaking the ice in the morning, and that may be in your worship. Incorporate good Christian music. Whatever may speak to your soul. Because it's very well that hymn has good qualities because it's so good at expressing exactly what you yourself have observed, but that you can put into music, that you can put to words. Maybe it is that music that'll shake off the cold of your spiritual life in the mornings. Whether you're driving to work, dropping kids off at school. Sometimes you need that help. Let others help you hallow God's name by expressing our praise for him, having us join in. It's not unbiblical. Look at Psalm 103. How does this end? It's like seeing wonderful things. He wants to hallow God's name. And the next thing David does is he has written a psalm that everyone may use, but he looks like angels join in, all of God's creation join in, all the beings in his whole dominion join in and praise the Lord. They may do it together. So we hallow God's name by thinking, by expressing what we see in God. But this leads right into our third point. We do our best to express what this means for us. But after we've taken a good look at what the glory of God is, and how we then take a good look to say, how does this apply to my life, to my situations, to what I'm going to pray for? That God is not just abstractly lovely or good or majestic or glorious as something that's just out there to adore and observe from a distance, but that this has value, meaning, and significance for you. You try it in some ways put a price or a value on what you have observed. And Psalm 103 is another good example of this. Because the psalm moves from recounting all of those blessings that the Lord has given to David to expounding at length what God's grace really has meant for David. He first recollects, like, this is what your God, this is what your goodness has meant for the people of Moses in their day. But now what it means for me, what it means for us. As he says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He applies it to himself and his situation. We've likely all experienced something that revealed the importance of this to us. So you've likely had it. You've read Bible passages or Bible stories 100 times before, but then that one time you come across it again and it has this new meaning or new significance to you. The words were the same the whole time, but your situation has changed. Maybe because now you were struggling. Now you were doubting. Now you were in pain. Now you were rejoicing. Maybe your role has changed. You've become a parent or a grandparent. You had lost your job or you'd moved away or whatever it may be. Something that you realize all of a sudden this text has new meaning and new value to you. And try to realize that then also in your prayers as you realize something about God and hallowing his name to then draw out what does that mean for you in that moment. What value does it have? What has become important part of your, let me say your creed, but like your belief system that you believed before, but now it means so much more. In what area in your life has God taken on increased value, increased brilliance, that you may hallow his name? Maybe you think like there's a lot now is you have to do thinking, observe it, or thinking, expressing. Try to articulate the meaning that it has. Let me also encourage you that it will be incredibly rewarding. Prayer in general is, as much as maybe work, but rewarding as well. Because let me also just point out how if you go through these steps or you try to just, maybe not even going through them, but just try to apply one of them when you have the time, that it may just actually bring variety and passion and conviction to your prayers. Because when you take the time to consider God's name or his attributes and try to express what they mean for you, you will also grow blessed by the Spirit. You will grow in insight on how best to bring your own petitions before God. Let's give you one example. You may regularly pray for an unbelieving family member. And maybe at this point, you're like, it's the same prayer again and again, and after years, you still pray it, but you know, it just seems like diminishing value the more that you've done so. Because you too have seemed lost steam. Let's now think, if you try to hallow God's name, and you draw a different name or a different characteristic of God, and a different attribute of God, and then apply that to your petition as something like this. Whether that be an unbelieving family member, whether it be an illness, the wish for a pregnancy, wish for a child, or someone else that you're really concerned about and pray for continually. Apply it. Think about it. Maybe one morning and maybe, Lord, I know that you are good. I know that you are a heavenly Father. I know that you have a heart for the prodigal son. So show goodness also to my child. The next morning you're filled with, hallowed be your name. Father, you are powerful. You are almighty. And how good would it be for my whole family to see your power to work in this child's life? To bring change of heart in one who has been so obstinate, so stubborn against believing God. You see, then the morning after that, you're filled with the faithfulness of God. He is a covenantal God, and David says, His love is from everlasting to everlasting. And you say, Lord, this child is a baptized child. You have granted your promises. You have given him such grace. Now also be faithful to him and return him to your flock, or her to your flock. The day after that, you fill yourself with the wonder of God's grace, and on the basis of the precious blood of Christ, you just say, Lord, this child of mine, I can't save him or her. Friends can't save them. Other family members can save them. Their job can't save them. Whatever situation they are, they can't save them but you and your grace. So be lost without it, just as I am. You start to see how thinking and expressing, hallowing God's name doesn't just hallow His name, but may warm our hearts and instill our prayers with power, pleading, and conviction. And I also realize that as we're doing so, we're not pleading on the basis of our own glory with our own request, but we're saying, Lord, this is who you are, and for that very reason, hear my prayer. There are likely other points to be made about how to hallow God's name, but for this afternoon, there's just one more that's key. And it's the substance of Psalm 103. We hallow God's name by declaring and experiencing for ourselves just His forgiveness and His grace. Right? David spent so much time on this in this psalm. He realized, this is who you are, compassionate and gracious. This is what it meant for your people in the time of Moses. This is what it means for me now today. And how it brings that stability to all of life, that as much as my life may be fleeting, Lord, you remain the same and your faithfulness is unchanging. And this, the sense of God's forgiveness, of His undeserved grace, has to be just central to hallowing God's name. Because you may approach hallowing God's name in the sense of how we may do that to anyone who is great, any great person, or maybe even not that great, may have love to have their name treated with dignity and majesty and weight. And sometimes you may even do that for people because you admire them. Or maybe you think maybe we'll receive something from them if we hold them up. Maybe you want to impress them or flatter them. And it could be so easy to start our prayers by trying to flatter our God in the way of hallowing His name. That's not the right starting point. It's not what God is seeking. Prayer has such a different starting point. So when we have experienced God's grace in Jesus Christ, right, that our sins have been removed, as David says, as far as the east is from the west, outside of our doing, we have done nothing for it. Outside of whatever contribution we've been able to make, whatever flattery we may have been able to offer, then we truly learn to hallow God for who He is and what He has done. And that is why, as much as I can stress this afternoon how to hallow God's name, you may try to grow and force yourself or to encourage yourself to learn from Scripture what this looks like in thinking and remembering and observing and articulating and applying it to your life. We all know that's a lifelong lesson. But it's not just that. Hallowing isn't just thinking, observing, and valuing. Hallowing God's name in prayer is believing that the blood of Christ is the only thing that makes our prayers precious in God's eyes. But as it is the only thing, it's also the most amazing thing that does truly make it precious. For when we believe this and truly believe that in prayer, what we've done, if you observe, is we have treated God's sacrifice, the sacrifice of His Son, as valuable, His love as infinite, And his glory as far greater than anything that we could offer, anything that we could say, anything that we ourselves could do. To realize that the real glory of God, that all of it is found in Jesus Christ. And that all of it really is expressed and confessed in prayer in that first petition. Hallowed be your name. Amen. Let's then stand and once again turn to Psalm 103. Now we'll sing stanzas 7, 8, and 9.